Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Father's House International in Westminster, South Carolina. We are bringing forth and reestablishing the apostolic message, movement, and ministry, and God's fatherhood and family in all dimensions. We are a local, regional, and national ministry that is cross-cultural and multiracial. Now, here is our founder and host, Dr. Seymour.
1 Corinthians 12, 28, and God has set some in the church. God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Amen. First. Apostles are the first and most vital, God's predominant fivefold men whom God put in charge of the other fivefold ministry in the entire church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, pastors. Then, evangelists. Yes, and it's in that order. You hear?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. Without having apostles, without having an apostle in your life, you don't have the real, true, complete other fivefold ministry. You don't have them. You don't have a real, true, complete church. You don't have a real, true, complete domestic family. You don't have one. You don't have a real, true, complete biological family. You just don't have it. It's not there. Nobody knows what to do. Nobody has that oversight. Nobody has the pattern. Nobody has the foundation. You just don't have it. Without having an apostle in your life, being under him. And an apostle's always under somebody himself. You can't be over people if you're not under. You hear?
Yes, sir.
Now, one cannot be an apostle without being raised up at the feet of a Gamaliel. Impossible. You see? The apostle Paul says this, Acts 22:3. I am verily a man which am a Jew. I was born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. However, I was brought up. I was reared up. I was brought up. I was nourished up in this city. What city? Jerusalem. I was brought up in this city, general headquarters, Jerusalem, apostolic headquarters, at the feet of Gamaliel. He said, I was taught paideo. I was trained up, educated, disciplined, taught according to the perfect manner of the law, the perfect manner of the law, and of the fathers. What man of God, Moses, God gave him on and on and on, the paternal and the hereditary, that you receive from them, that you inherit. And he was zealous, fervid, zeal. Toward God. As he said, he's talking to these Jewish people, very consecrated Jewish people. He said, that's the way I was. As ye are today, I also am like that myself. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, who in the world is this Gamaliel? Who is he? Here's a little brief biography and history. He was a leading master of the Jewish Sanhedrin in the first century. Sanhedrin was a supreme religious council in Judaism, consisting of 70 or 71 men or sages, men of wisdom, sometimes headed by a high priest. They ruled over civil, religious, and criminal cases, all of it. Of course, this court was modeled after the pattern of the 70 elders appointed by man of God Moses, which is likely a parallel of the 70 angels described as a part of God the Father's council. So, Gamaliel, he was a leading master of the Jewish Sanhedrin. He was a master of the written and oral Torah. He was a guardian, a teacher of the oral Torah. According to Jewish tradition, Gamaliel succeeded his father Simon and his famous grandfather Hillel the Elder. Gamaliel was the first person to be given the distinct title of Rabban, R-A-B-B-A-N, Rabban, not Rabbi, Rabban, which means master, teacher. The title given to patriarchs, the president of the Sanhedrin, is a higher position than the rabbi, Rabban is higher than Rabbi. All having the title Rabban were leaders of Sanhedrin, but not all leaders of the Sanhedrin had the title of Rabban. See the position he has? He had the highest repute or you say reputation as a teacher of the law at that time. It had to be him for the Apostle Paul to say, no, because the Apostle Paul is going to be such a high caliber. He has to be under the most high caliber man of that time. You see? Now, Gamaliel's impact on Judaism is recorded in the Talmud. The Talmud is the oral law, rabbinical commentaries of the whole body of the Jewish oral law is the Talmud. It reads, when Rabban Gamaliel the elder died, and after those died, then people started to cease regarding the Torah and started to come and become more and more impure. Without the right leader, everything goes away. So, in the Bible, Christian records, and history, tradition, Gamaliel is recorded in the Bible, Acts chapter 5, as a man leader of the Sanhedrin, who intervened to save the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John's lives. He intervened and saved their lives. Acts 5:33, and when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to kill the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John, because they were preaching Jesus Christ. Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among the people. He commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Put them over here. Leave them up. Put over here. Put them over here to the side. Yes, and he said, hey, if this be of God, you can't stop it. And if it not be of God, it will come to naught. Amen. So his words stopped the whole mob. Yes, that's the authority and the position and the weight he had to stand up. And they all went silent and they let them go. What the Bible says in Acts chapter 5. You see Gamaliel standing up? Oh, hallelujah. Gamaliel was the direct teacher of the young Saul of Tarsus who became the Apostle Paul. He was the direct teacher of the young Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. Acts 22:3, I am verily a man, as you know, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city, Jerusalem, headquarters, at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God to this day, as all of you are. Historical evidence strongly suggests, hear this, historical evidence strongly suggests, and Christian history claims, that Gamaliel became a convert to Christianity. Historical evidence strongly suggests, and Christian history claims, that Gamaliel became a convert to Christianity, that he was baptized by the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John in water, along with one of his biological sons and also fellow Pharisee Nicodemus. This is an example of the father even going farther on because of the son, Gamaliel, the spiritual father, the Apostle Paul, the spiritual son. What God shows the Apostle Paul, he even pushes, and Gamaliel even begins to even learn more himself.
Yes, sir.
Is that great or not?
Yes, sir.
Because Gamaliel, the spiritual father, in some way was further redeemed by the further doctrine of the Apostle Paul, his spiritual son, who had an encounter with Jesus himself. Do you hear?
Yes, sir.
So history also maintains that after the stoning of the martyr deacon Stephen, the angry Jews left his body on the ground so the dogs would consume it and eat his flesh. But after 2 days and one night, Gamaliel took Stephen's body, secretly brought it to his own personal estate, and buried it so it would not be desecrated. You see? After 2 days and one night, Gamaliel took Stephen's body, secretly brought it to the personal estate, and buried it so it would not be desecrated. Gamaliel also cared for Nicodemus in Nicodemus' old age. Nicodemus lived at Gamaliel's estate. Nicodemus eventually died and was buried next to Stephen. In time, Gamaliel's Christian son and Gamaliel himself were also buried in that same cave. Nicodemus, Stephen, those people, buried with them. So it is said that Gamaliel kept his conversion very quiet. Why? so that he could use his esteemed position as master and rabbi of the Sanhedrin to help Christians who faced persecution.
Okay.
See that?
Yes, sir.
So Gamaliel, he kept his conversion quiet so that he could use his esteemed position as master of the Sanhedrin to help Christians who faced persecution. There are documents called the Archo writings, like archaeological writings of the Sanhedrin and Talmuds of the Jews. These are held at the Vatican, they say. They say the Vatican holds them. Claim to be documents from three different courts, even during the days of Jesus. These writings, of course, are very lengthy. We don't know exactly if they're there, can't guarantee that, but evidently they were these, given by Gamaliel about Jesus and also his mother Mary. But they are full of interesting and compelling details concerning Jesus and his piety. If these are true, then one can see how much Jesus Christ impacted Gamaliel and how Gamaliel believed that Jesus was the Messiah.
Amen.
Now, the meaning of the name Gamaliel, the Greek starts off Old Testament Greek, it means Hebrew, an Israelite, and then Gamaliel goes to Hebrew, reward of God, to treat a person well, to wean and to ripen, to bestow and deal bountifully upon someone, to do good. And it comes from the word El, which is one of God's names, which is the mighty, strong, powerful one. So Gamaliel was a mighty, strong, powerful one. And even the root of his Hebrew name had the root of God in it.
Yes, sir.
But reward of God is a very vague definition. Gamaliel was much more than just reward of God, even though he was reward of God. The appropriate first surface meaning would be much closer to being the investment of God. He was an investor of God in people. The verb gamel means to invest, which is a root of Gamaliel. The word gamel means to invest, or more precisely, to willfully nurture any sort of fledging or immaturity, you might say. To nurture that toward productivity, maturity by means of continued input and infusion of what's in him, putting it in the other one. So he was someone who deposited, right? To make an investment that is guaranteed to bring a return back to also the originator. What an originator gives in the right way, it comes back to him too.
Amen.
Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, right?
Yes, sir.
To deal out and to give to others, wean them and ripen them. This also refers to the financial type transactions about what you give comes back. You know, given it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall God give unto you into your bosom, but also other kinds of investment that will bring a sure return, specifically spiritual investments. In Jeremiah 51, verse 56, God is shown having the title from the root word of gamel, like Gamaliel. God is shown having a title from the root word of gamel, which is the root word of Gamaliel. Jeremiah 51, 56, for the Lord God of recompenses, for the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite or pay back. So the Lord of recompenses shall surely requite, pay back. See that? The Lord God of recompenses was El Gimulot, literally means God of investments. God is an investing God. Investments that guarantee a return. Recompenses. God of recompense, recompense, a reward, a benefit, something deserving to whatever is given, whatever that which is given. Treat a person really well, gamel, to benefit, bestow, deal bountifully, reward, requite. This word shows a sowing and a reaping, a culminated judgment if needed, which means what goes around comes around. What you give comes back. What you give, it'll come back. So the word shows a sowing and reaping, a culminated judgment of what goes around, comes around. What you invested, God returns it. It shows that whatever investment you made, rest assured that God will return it upon your head. It will come back on you. He is El Gimulot, the Lord of recompenses. He's El Gimulot, the Lord of recompenses. This word also shows that the nature of the giving can either lead to blessing or judgment for the one who gives it. Give it the right way, give it the right kind of way, a blessing if not, a judgment. Gamaliel, Gamal, spiritual investments. The word Gamal of Gamaliel even more powerfully refers to the act of fathering and fostering. So the verb Gamal, which is a root, a verb of Gamaliel, even more powerfully refers to the act of fathering, fostering, raising, rearing, and training. So when you see Gamaliel, he is fathering, fostering, he's raising, rearing, and training. His name means that. Making continual spiritual investments into a person, making continual spiritual investments into a person who will nurture them and bring them to fruition, to a completion, who will be good soil, into good soil like a good son or daughter he puts it into, who will guarantee a good return, recompense, and reward. Also, this would describe a person who has had much treasure of God invested into them. This also describes a person who has had much treasure of God invested into them, someone who has been the recipient of many investments of those able that were poured into them. You see? Therefore, they would be a prime person who is able to pour their treasures into someone else. Those who receive and have treasures, pour it into someone else. Making investments into and weaning another person until they are fit to stand and carry on. Fit to stand and carry on. This is a clear trait of the chain of fathers. This is what they do to people who become sons and daughters of them. All of this comes from the root of Gamal, corresponding to the name Gamaliel. Gamaliel, right? Gamaliel, the Gimel, Hebrew, rich man running to the poor man. It's like a rich man running to the poor man, a Gimel. He's a rich man running to the poor man. There is much more meaning in the letter Gimel, which is Gamaliel. Gimel is the third letter of the Hebrew Aleph Bet or alphabet. Hear that now?
Yes, sir.
So Gimel is the third letter of the Hebrew Aleph Bet or alphabet. It's third. It is mostly synonymous to our letter C, A, B, C, and even a G.
Yes, sir.
You got it?
Yes.
Gimel, third of those letters, has the form of a person holding something and running towards to the letter next to it, which would be the Dalet. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. It is running, it's an unfolding from 1, 2, 3, 4. From an Aleph to a Bet to a Gimel to a Dalet. You got it? Okay. Gimel is a form of a person holding something and running towards the next to it, which would be the Dalet, the D, the door. So a Gimel is running toward to the door. Dalet means a door, also a poor man. Usually a poor man which has integrity. Running to a poor man with integrity. Gimel is seen to be a rich man, running fast toward a poor man to bring him treasures and charity bestow upon him. The relationship of Gimel and Dalet, third and fourth, right? Letter of the Hebrew alphabet, reveals an eternal principle that God has established. So the relationship of Gimel and Dalet, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, the relationship of Gimel third and Dalet fourth reveals an eternal principle that God has established, that there is a divine circuit and transaction of charity and good deeds of those who are rich in this world, running after those who are poor in this world to alleviate their true needs, not selfish, okay? To alleviate their true needs, not selfish wants. That just as God pours out his goodness upon those who are truly poor and needy, so those who are rich have the responsibility to pour out upon and provide for the poor and needy. I'm pouring out upon you now. Financial treasures must be poured into God's ministry. Financial treasures must be poured into God's ministry. A segment of God's ministry forever and ever includes also pouring financial blessings in it, and those in the ministry are helping those in need. I'm helping you. You see? Many in the Bible bless the poor with their wealth, and they were blessed by God. Man of God, Job, King David blessed the poor with their wealth, and God blessed them back. They were very rich people. The rich man, Lazarus begging outside, did not do what God required of him, did not help poor Lazarus at his very door, so he went straight to hell. He went to hell. Are you here? So again, the rich man did not do what God required of him, did not help poor Lazarus begging at his door. So the rich man went straight to hell. There's a divine responsibility for those whom God has blessed to pour out of their treasures onto those who are in need. How many know I do this all the time? I do this every day I breathe. Been doing it for decades and decades and decades and decades. There's a divine responsibility for those whom God has blessed to pour out of their treasures onto those who are in need. This is part of the letter Gimel concerning investing. This is part of the letter Gimel concerning investing. Spiritually speaking, a spiritually rich man, a spiritually rich man is a gimel running after a poor man, must always be searching and pouring out his treasures to a worthy recipient. Constantly. The one who will be a good one that he finds is a very good spiritual investment to invest in. Who will bring forth a sure return, a recompense of the investments and treasures poured into them. In other words, one who will be a great son or daughter to the Gimel pouring in them. Now, Gimel also means camel of God, a camel of God. It's a camel of God.
Yes, sir.
This leads to another chief meaning of Gimel that encompasses all the other meanings. Gimel also, as I said, means camel, M-A-C-A-M-E-L, camel. A camel in the ancient world was seen as a method of transport, but usually for financial or merchandising purposes. A camel in the ancient world was seen as a method of transport, but usually a financial and merchandising cargo, you might say. Princes and soldiers rode horses. Poor men rode donkeys. Princes and soldiers rode horses. Poor men rode donkeys. Rich merchants had camel trains. Also, kings would ride on camels. Most caravans bearing great wealth came on camels. Gimel, a camel, a Gamaliel. Those with wealth or stature had camel trains, such as Father Abraham sending his camels with servant Eliezer to find himself a wife for his son Isaac, remember? He didn't send a donkey, sent a camel train, all kind of things. You hear it?
Yes, sir.
He said, Gimel, send a gimel, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
You see it, everybody? Those who were in business and trade used camels. Those who were in business and trade used camels as their transport system.
Yes, sir.
Camels were used to make the long journey across the desert, transporting things for a long, long distance, camel train. The parallel between gimel, a rich man, a gimel is a camel train. The parallel between gimel and a rich man, the gimel equals a camel train.
Yes, sir.
It is that wealthy person from a far off land was sending vast loads of goods and treasures to bless the recipients that he is going toward. Like the gimel rich man running after the poor man to bestow treasures upon him. When you saw a camel train coming on the horizon, when you saw a camel train, you seen a gimel coming on the horizon, a camel train coming on the horizon, you knew that they were full of vast treasures going to be unloaded somewhere. When God the Father wants to send his vast treasures from a far off land over a vast expanse. He loads up a camel train. He loads up his gimels over a long journey. Camels make a long and arduous, difficult, steep journey in order to safely transport the treasures that they had been laden and loaded with. People who have real treasures of God invested in them. People who have real treasures of God invested in them have also traveled a long and arduous, difficult, steep journey. They paid a great price to bear and carry these treasures. It cost quite a bit. Son Joseph is going to be the deliverer of Egypt. Son Joseph is going to be the deliverer of Egypt. He was delivered into Egypt on a camel train. When son Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites and then the Midianites and taken down on the journey to Egypt land, he was loaded up on a camel train. Hallelujah. It was God's richest treasures being delivered to Egypt coming on a camel train. Hallelujah. See that? Oh, yes. God was making a delivery of his special chosen deliverer, Joseph, into the place he was needing to be set at. This is also why son Joseph was sent on a camel train full of aromatic spices, perfume, and preservatives. Remember the story, Genesis 37:25, and they sat down to eat, his brothers, jealous of him. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of the Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery, balm, and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. God had them, he was sold by his brother. They took him on a camel train. God was sending his greatest treasure, son Joseph. Hallelujah. Send his greatest treasure via camels. Gimels, who would bring anointing and aromatic spices, who would bring fragrance, worship of true God, who would bring healing like balm, who would bring preservation like myrrh, down into Egypt for the saving of the world. For the saving of the world. Son Joseph already had been full of treasures and investments, remember this, of his chain of fathers within him. Son Joseph had already was full of treasures and investments of his chain of fathers that were within him. Abraham, Isaac, all the way down Jacob, right? But now God was taking him to the next step, even though it would be a vast distance, long journey, even though son Joseph would pay a great price and he would come on a camel train on a gimel. God would fill up son Joseph with new treasures and new investments for the next step in his eternal commission of him going down and saving Egypt and the Israelites. Yes, it was God's richest treasures, yes, being delivered to Egypt coming on a camel train. Yes, you see that, everybody? Yes, hallelujah. Praise God.
We trust that you've been helped during today's broadcast with Dr. Seymour from the Father's House International. Join us right here on WGOG every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to come be with us in our weekly services at the Father's House International, Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 415 Pateras Way, Westminster, South Carolina. For directions or additional information, call us at 864-647-7777. That's 864-647-7777. Until next week, may you allow God to bring you into a greater measure of His truth and a deeper level of relationship with Himself.